present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, and your chairman tonight, Barry Cryer.
Thank you, and welcome again to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the panel game that proves that life isn't all misery and bad news. It can be chaos as well. This is a clearly defined panel game with very tightly-knit rules, and my name, of course, is Steve McQueen. At the piano, we have our very own Mr. David Lee, and confronting each other, we have two teams. On my left, listeners, you'll have spotted them on my left, we have, first, Mr. John Hello Sailor Cleese, partnered by Graham Goody Goody Garden, and opposing them, we do, in fact, have Bill Let It All Hang Out Oddy, and Tim Brooke No Argument Taylor! Let us plunge, gentlemen, into the morass of the game with the first round, which is rather evocatively entitled The Singing Sprint. A member of each team will be asked to sing a song as fast as he possibly can, and then a member of the opposing team will then endeavour to sing the same song even faster. The first contestant will, in fact, be Mr. Tim Brooke Taylor, who is going to endeavour to sing Gilly Gilly Ossen Pfeffer. Nell and Bogan by the Sea, the well-known firm of solicitors. Tim, see how fast you can sing the aforesaid David Lee poised at the keyboard.
There's a tiny house by a tiny stream where a lovely lass had a lovely dream, and the dream came true quite unexpectedly in Gilly Gilly Ossen Pfeffer, Cats and Nell Bogan by the Sea.
A couple of illies strayed there. I'm bearing that in mind, John, as you, in fact, to say the very same song to see how fast you can sing it.
There's a tiny house by a tiny stream where a lovely lass had a lovely dream, and the dream came true quite unexpectedly in Gilly Gilly Ossen Pfeffer, Cats and Nell Bogan by the Sea.
John took longer, Tim dropped two illies. I'll call that draw. 2 points all, and we in fact now go to Mr. Bill Oddie, who is going to say that wonderful song from the film starring the immortal Eamon Andrews. The song is Do Re Mi, Bill, please.
Don't count that, wait a minute. I'm taking a breath. Do a dear, a female dear, ray, a drop of gold, a son, me, a name, I call myself, a long, long way to run, so a needle pulling thread, la, a note full of dough, tea, and me, if we jam and bread, which brings me back to dough.
Oh! I made that about 6 seconds, six-ish. Graham Garden, would you do likewise?
Oh, dear, family, dear, ray, a drop of gold, ah! Me, a name, I call myself, a long, long way to run, so a needle pulling thread, la, a needle pulling thread, tea, drink, and bread, brings that dough. Ah!
Objection by Mr. Timber.
Femal deer.
Pardon?
A femal deer.
A femal deer.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that a draw. I'm going to make the whole round a draw. Four all. Too much gibberish about. The next thing I have to do is to set up something that the teams are going to do later in the programme. You keep listening. Late arrivals. We want the names, gentlemen, of rather silly people, or the silly names of people who are going to arrive at a certain function. Would you think of some silly people who are going to arrive late at the musician's ball? The musician's ball. And we'll be coming back to that later in the programme. In the next round, was going to be on current affairs, but none of the teams had ever had an affair with a current. So, please. You're not kind enough. This round is called tag wrestling, I should explain. Tag meaning tagline, the punchline, the end line of some story. I'm going to give each team the tagline of a story or anecdote, and I shall start with one team who must tell a story ending in their tagline. When I press my buzzer, the story passes to the other side, who must work towards the finishing line that I've given them. The winning team is the one who reaches their tagline first. Tim and Bill, your tagline, suddenly the moon came up over Bangkok. Suddenly the moon came up over Bangkok, and Dr. Muller closed his diary for the last time. Too easy, but that's the way we started. And at the same moment, simultaneously, we cry, Graham and John are going to construct a story finishing with the line, Wham! Exclamation mark. And the Christmas pudding disappeared into the Mersey Tunnel. I'm going to recapitulate. They can't touch you for it. The Tim and Bill story finishes. Suddenly the moon came up over Bangkok and Dr. Muller closed his diary for the last time. And Graham and John's story, Wham! And the Christmas pudding disappeared into the Mersey Tunnel. There's a sort of 10-second-ish air about this, but we will in fact start with Mr. Bill Oddy.
The scene? Bangkok, India.
India?
The chief character? Bangkok isn't in India. Well, there is a Bangkok in India, actually, and that's where... Don't distract me!
John, please.
Meanwhile, several thousand miles away, while listening to news of the events in Bangkok...
Tim Brooke Taylor.
And the events that were happening in Bangkok that they were listening to was of Dr. Muller, who had...
Graham Garden.
Recently died.
You've got 2 seconds, Graham.
It was Christmas, and my father had...
You mustn't get applause. Back to Bill.
And at that moment, the doctor came in and said, I'm sorry, there's been a mistake. Dr. Muller is by no means dead. Dying, yes.
John,
but
please.
There is a phone call from him from his famous footballing son, Muller, of Bayern Munich, who only this evening are playing Liverpool at Anfield.
Tim Brooke Taylor.
But I digress, he said. At that moment, Dr. Muller, newly awakened from the dead, picked up his diary.
Graham Garden.
Dropped dead. But his son, playing at Anfield, popped into our house to have a slice of Christmas pudding.
And said, do you mind if I turn on the television for a few minutes? He turned on the television, what should he see but Dr. Muller? A film of him, dead he was, but...
At that moment, the Christmas pudding was dropped, Muller falling forwards from the shock of seeing his father on the television, stuck it with his head, and wham!
I've seen a football look like that. It looks more like the moon to me. It reminds me of a time in Bangkok when suddenly...
Oh, forget the story, he said, kicking the pudding. Wham!
And the Christmas pudding disappeared into the Mersey Tunnel.
Oh, give it to me. Yes, yes. Graham and John 2-0, but we've got to do that again. We've got to give Tim and Bill a chance to savour revenge. Tim and Bill, will you make note of this tagline? Suddenly he removed the Chinese mask and there stood the Archbishop of Canterbury. Graham and John will meanwhile toy with, Oh God, she cried, how can I tell Father that the monkey was French? Suddenly he removed the Chinese mask and there stood the Archbishop of Canterbury, Tim and Bill. Oh, God, she cried, how can I tell Father that the monkey was French, John and Graham? Let's start it the other way round this time. John and Graham, if you've got your tagline. And we'll start with Mr. John Cleese.
Amanda was sitting in the garden one day, watching her father mowing the lawn, when she began to remember some of the...
Things
Timber
she'd
Taylor.
Read in a book. It was Halloween, she remembered, the story went. And everyone wore masks on their faces. There was a tense hush around the...
Graham.
That moment her father came up. What is this book you're reading, he said. Is it some French novel? You know I can't stand anything French.
No, she Bill. Said, it isn't a French novel at all. It's a book about a Halloween when everybody wears masks, especially Chinese masks, which have very little eyes, so it's very difficult to see.
What an John. Extraordinary thing, she said, but... There is another book inside, almost identical to this, which is... surprised that you mistook it for the same.
Tim.
Mistook it for the same? Never, she said. It's about Chinese masks and religious cults in the West.
Graham.
At that moment, her pet monkey hopped onto her shoulder. Father patted the monkey on the head. I'm quite fond of it, he said.
Quite fond of the monkey, he said, but let's get back to this book. As you will remember, Chinese masks are very little eyes, so it's difficult to see where you're going. And this fellow said...
John Dean.
To his surprise, in fact, while setting eyes upon the monkey, he was almost sure that it was an old friend of his that he had once met in Borneo.
left him.
Then he remembered he'd made a complete mistake. He remembered, in fact, line 43 on page 92 about the Archbishop of Canterbury, who removed...
Who had also been in Borneo at the time, as the friend and the monkey. My friend was French, said Father.
Bill.
Said Father, and a funny thing happened to him, because he was wearing a Borneo mask, which actually is very similar to the Chinese mask, and might as well be called the same thing. And that also has very little eyes.
Amanda, who was in the habit of shouting out extraordinary things for no good reason, shouted, "Oh, God," she cried, "how can I talk..."
Speaking of God, her father suddenly he removed the Chinese dropper. Mask and there stood the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Tim and Bill 3-0. The hardback will be published in the autumn. Now we move to the next round. By the way, we've had a lot of letters from listeners asking, is Tim Brooke Taylor? I've been asked to reply yes, but not necessarily in that order. Now, the next round is called Word for Word. This was going to be a round for female impersonators, but Bill failed the medical. So I'm going to give each team a word.
Happy to say.
And they must immediately come up with another word, the other member of the team, that is, which has nothing whatsoever to do with the word that started it all off. So I think I'll start with John on this occasion. John, will you start with the word... ostrich.
Cricket. Pentateuch. Alcimiades.
Challenged by Bill Oddy.
I couldn't say either of the last two words.
I'll allow that. I'll allow that. Connection has been established. I'll allow that. 2 points. Let's leap over to the other team, game. And I'll say to Tim Brooke Taylor on this occasion, Tim, I'll say earring.
Horse.
Jack.
Lever.
Pie.
Jack Lever used to open the bowling for
Oh, the we've glibness
gone
of it.
Past two, that.
2 points, John, please. Good. Graham Garden. Pterodactyl.
Parsley.
Grange.
Overture.
Spoke.
Light.
Elm. Sorry.
Challenged by Tim Brooke Taylor. Were you sitting on it? I couldn't know.
I regret it, whatever it was.
Yes, indeed.
I think they should carry on.
40 points. One for charity. Now. But in fact, we will, in fact. Yes, we'll. Let's leap back to Bill Oddy with the word nib.
Lemming.
Clock.
Bat.
Elephant's foot umbrella stand.
Groan.
Challenge by Mr.
Challenge
by Mr. John, please.
Could never have a foot if it hadn't grown.
Excellent. The power of that connection astonishes me. Let's go to John, please, with the word wrist.
A wrist.
Wrist.
Stout.
Water.
Pachyderm.
Buffalo.
Polyhydrate. I personally knew a polyhydrate who owned a buffalo. You know Polly, she runs the...
Call a halt. I'll call a halt. I'll give that to John Polly's and Graham. 4 points to three. Now, each team will give the other team a subject on which they must improvise a four-line calypso singing alternate lines. There are marks for this for wit and elegance of expression. We'll go to John and Graham first, who are going to regale us, although they don't know it yet, with the Christmas pudding calypso.
I had a shock on Christmas Day. My Christmas pudding was going grey. Old and wrinkled. And then I saw... It wasn't a pudding, it was my mother-in-law.
Hey. sound of Cole Porter spinning. And now we go to Tim and Bill, and they're going to give us, as they suddenly discover, the show jumping calypso.
Show jumping the other day.
Saw Princess Anne, and I must say, she did very well to get round the course. Considering she didn't have a horse.
Give the edge to John and Graham there, 3-2. We go to the next round, which is called Sculpt the Sardine or Carry On Singing. This round involves individual players rather than teams. The first player starts a song, stops singing whenever he feels like it on a particular word, and a player of the other team has to pick it up on that word, but with a totally different song. Let's start with Bill, going to Graham, and then Tim, and then John. So we'll start with Bill. A song, please, Bill, anything you like.
I belong to Glasgow, dear.
Graham.
Ray, a drop of golden sun. Me, a name.
Name. That's not something. Name. But you must not believe me when I say there's a tree that lives.
You wrote that, didn't you?
Just now. He may have done, but it's bound for the chart. You'll be having that one soon.
Farrago.
Which lives, he gave you.
Is it my turn?
Lives, Mr. Cleese, lives. I don't believe a word of that.
Lives under.
Neat. The armchairs, I dream my dreams away.
Down yonder in New Orleans, in the land.
It's my land. This land is your land.
You've never been a state agent.
For the bell of freedom. Or freedom.
Abysmal.
I don't want to follow that.
They've just lost their independence. So I'm
well, if they challenge us, we can go on.
Let's freedom call come. Let's call it hold on. Let's start with Graham.
We win. Thank you.
We win.
The end of the contest.
Graham, start a song. Lash them with a song, Graham.
Promises. Do you know that one?
I don't know any song.
Promises. Come on, you know it.
Oh, the Camp Town ladies sing this song.
Song. I'm about to sing a song.
You don't have to, it's my go.
Oh, is it? No, it isn't. That isn't. Song in my heart.
We're doing this.
Heart. Twice? I was helping you out. I won't ever again.
Heart, the herald angel.
You have to sing, mind me. I don't like music.
Sing something simple.
Simple, Graham.
Simple. Simon.
Prompting. You threw your voice, Graham.
Met. We all met by moonlight, but that isn't a song, is it? No, met.
I'll hoot you there, Tim, and I'm going to make Mr. John Cleese, in fact, start a song, a real one this time, by way of a novelty, and stop at a particular word from your vast repertoire.
Oh, we'll honour yet the school we knew, the best school of all. We'll honour yet the rule we knew till the last bell call. For happy days and holidays and sad and melancholy days, they were great.
Great. Nearly the term ended, isn't it?
Great balls of fire!
Yes! Fire! Fire to Graham Gunn.
fire down below.
Blow the winter wine. Thou shouldst not be unkind as man's in.
Man's in?
Man, well, in.
Gilly gilly, awesome pepper cats.
Bogan was
Bogan. Bogan. Oh, no, I won't allow Bogan. I'll allow C.
Bye.
Bye. All right, bye. I'll allow bye.
By the light of the silvery moon.
Moon.
That can't be.
The moon river wider than a mile.
Mile.
Mile?
My old man said follow
the van. My old man said follow the van.
Just.
And don't dilly-dally on the way.
Down upon the Swanee.
Swanee?
Swanee. I'm going to make
how
that
I love you, how I love you, my dear old Swanee.
Neat.
Swanee.
Neat. There isn't another, is there?
Swanee, those songs that...
Oh, God. I'll call a halt there. I'm going to declare the whole round as a win to Tim and Bill. Tim and Bill.
Oh,
bye. 4 points to three. And in fact, gentlemen, you are locked in combat yet again with our tag wrestling part two, in which we do as before, we give each of the teams the final line of a story, and then they've got...
Could we get in the parrot exterminator, please?
This is a monologue, not a catalogue. And now, we go to...
Cat? I wasn't a cat.
It was a cat to me for the purposes of what I was about to say. The two final lines, gentlemen all. Where are we? Ah, yes, Tim and Bill. You have so, monsieur, the dentist smiled and squeezed the trigger on his left boot. So, monsieur, the dentist smiled and squeezed the trigger on his left boot. And John and Graham...
Dada!
...gurgled the Spanish tot. And then the trampoline collapsed. So, monsieur, the dentist smiled and squeezed the trigger on his left boot. Tim and Bill, John and Graham, Dada, gurgled the Spanish tot, and then the trampoline collapsed.
Tot.
Tim Brooke Taylor's going to start the story. Go.
Bonjour. No, not bonjour. Bonjour, said Edward Heath. Bonjour, said the dentist, as Le Monsieur came into his dentistry.
I have here a bottle of whiskey. Would you like a tot?
Certainly.
Said his patient.
Bill.
Well, yes, I would like a tot, said the dentist. Well, you can't have one because there's no drinking in the surgery. Especially...
John.
But we could pop outside and go to the circus where there are some fascinating acts going on. So they strolled out from the...
Dim.
From the surgery and headed for the circus. Unfortunately, they found it wasn't in town that day, so they returned to the circus.
Graham.
The dentist said, when I offered you a tot just then, of course, I wasn't referring to the whiskey, but to this charming Spanish child.
which has absolutely nothing to do with this story. In fact, back at the dentist's surgery, which was, in course, was of course, in Paris, a spy came.
John,
what was the last thing you
said? A spy came.
A spy came.
A spy came.
And said, the circus is on its...
Come on.
I didn't catch
him. I hooted. I didn't let him speak.
He didn't let
him.
He said, sit down in this chair, monsieur, and I will try and open your mouth. Ah, your mouth isn't opening, so let me put my left boot in there to keep it open.
Certainly not. Come in.
How do you do, sir? I just came to tell you the circus is in town. Ah!
Yes. And the dentist said, but before you go to the circus, you better have your teeth done. So, so that you won't feel the pain, I want you to sew something.
Sorry, sew?
Sew.
So.
Look, the only thing to keep your mouth open is to put my left foot in it. And there's an anesthetic in my left foot. So, monsieur...
I've told you before, certainly not. Come in. It's a trampoline you ordered, sir. Ah, bring it
in. You'll find it a great deal more comfortable. You won't feel a thing if you lie on the trampoline and sew this button on my shirt, which will relax you. And then I can... So, I shall give you this...
This is all very surrealist, the dentist said. No, it's Dada, gurgled the Spanish cop, and then the trampoline collapsed.
Stop. A convincing win there. Sudden eruption of Dada there. The next round is, in fact, where we return to our earlier subject of late arrivals, gentlemen. Earlier in the programme, I asked you to announce the late arrivals at the Musician's Ball. The Musician's Ball. John and Graham, any thoughts of the Musician's Ball? I'm going to score for these as we go along.
Mr. and Mrs. Jean-Paul Dance. Dum dum dum. And son Charles Louis Dun. Oh.
Another arrival at the Musician's Ball. Mr. and Mrs. Trick Guitar. And their son Alec.
Oh. Too off.
Mr. and Mrs. Boobs a Daisy. And their son, Hans. And Hans' niece, and Boobs a Daisy.
And also arriving late at the Musician's Ball, Mr. and Mrs. Hube. And their notoriously pornographic son, sometimes known as Blue Dan Hube.
Do you realise what's happened? We've just pulled up to a draw. I know you're going to do more of these. I announced the result of the competition a draw.
No,
going on, I knew they would.
Late
it's
arrival.
28 all to both teams.
And
John,
this is
please,
her and Mrs. Tree Two-Step and their daughter, Millie Tree Two-Step.
And this is her and Mrs. Evening and their children, Sam and Janet Evening.
Oh,
admitted because they are too old.
In that case,
but come
Mr. and Mrs. Launo Jazz Music in here. And their mama, Donna Launo Jazz.
Oh! It's good night.
And also coming in closely behind them, their friends, Mr. and Mrs. Walls, came tumbling down. And their son, Andy Walls, came tumbling down.
That's it. Will you write
not
it on the head?
Not to mention... An extremely upper
Clubman, the one-legged composer, and his shoe, Bert.
That's it. So it's good night from John and Graham, Tim and Bill.
And Mr. and Mrs. Lynn, and their daughter, Mandy Lynn.
Oh.
And a very posh family, Mr. and Mrs. Court Orchestra and their daughter, Palm Court Orchestra.
Oh, no.
Mr. and Mrs. Logan and their son, Barry Logan.
Oh. Mr. and Mrs. Doctors Batten and their son, Conductors Batten.
Mr. and Mrs. Organ and their son, Hammond. Mr. and Mrs. Bear's Picnic.
That's it. Good night, all. Good night. That's it. Definitely. Round of applause.
That was Barry Cryer saying goodbye on behalf of Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, Graham Garden and Bill Oddie. Dave Lee at the piano and producer John Castle.